Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
He charged me with resisting arrest.
Get that confidence in jail.
I object.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Allegedly Bravo. I'm the host of this here podcast. My name is Lauren. I'm a lawyer. Oh, my God. It feels so weird to say that. But I did pass the bar. So thank God that's over with. And I'm going to use some of that gumption that I got from passing that test to talk about Kim Zolciak-Bierman and her divorce. So if you'd like to follow around with this by video, head on over to Patreon. Feel free to give any amount that you can or want to per month, and you'll have access to this on video. All right, let's get into it. Oops, that was way too fast. Can you go leave a 5-star review? I didn't mean to say go get into it like right now. I meant stop, pause, go subscribe and leave a 5-star review to this podcast. Hop back on. Keep listening. While you're listening, head on over to Instagram. Follow me there and check out the website, allegedlybravo.com, because you could read the petition for divorce, Croy's and Kim's. I thought I uploaded Kim's a while ago, but I guess I never published it. So I have Croy's up there right now, and I'll add Kim's like later today. So you can go ahead and read along and check it out. Don't forget there's some really cute merch. There's really cute merch in the store. All right, that's at allegedlybravo.com too, and it has a little tab that says merch. So just go ahead and explore that and explore the Morally Corrupt shop and just have fun. I've just curated such a fun experience for you, and it's my pleasure. I feel like I work at Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure. Would you like some sauce? All right, before we talk too much about this very serious divorce, let's just remember, while I am a person who passed the bar exam, thank you, this is not legal advice, and so I won't be able to help you in a legal advice situation because you have not paid me. Also, if you have any questions about anything, you want to file for divorce, you have questions about filing for divorce, call a licensed attorney in your neck of the woods. Don't rely on this podcast. That would be silly. That would be so silly. And you're a smart, educated, empowered person. And so you're just going to find an attorney in your neck of the woods that'll do a free consultation. If you can't afford to pay for one, someone will do it for free. Okay? All right. First of all, on May 8th, 2023, our worlds collectively like fell apart. I mean, mine did anyway, because I'm just sitting there. One minute I'm sitting there and I'm just a girl sitting in a chair. And then the very next moment, I'm sitting there and I'm a girl in a living a life where Kim and Croy are not together anymore. Kim Zolciak from The Real Housewives of Atlanta and Croy Bierman from Football are just not together anymore. And that was a couple that, to me, I thought was end game. I thought Kim and Croy and their whole little gaggle of kids that start with the letter K, that they would all be together forever and live in that big house with the big pool and with their cook and, I mean, their chef and Kim's hair salon, like all that. I really thought they'd be there forever. So I know this is going to be hard for a lot of us to get through, and just know while it's hard for you, it's also hard for me, but we're going to talk about it and we'll get through it together, and we're all a support system, okay? So Croy filed on May 8th at 1:15 p.m. Now, this was the filing that I saw, and like, I looked up Croy Bierman, I looked up Croy Evan Bierman, I looked up Kimberly Marie Zolciak, I looked up Kimberly Zolciak, I looked up Kimberly Zolciak Bierman. Like, you know, I did all the different possible combinations that you could ever think of, and Croy's petition was the only one on the court's docket that ever showed up. So TMZ was reporting like, oh, Kim filed for divorce. But the only petition that was on the website was Croy's petition, where Croy filed for divorce from Kim. That was like something that I found interesting. But then like other people like kept saying, no, Kim filed, Kim filed, Kim filed. And it's like, okay, well, where's Kim's petition? And nobody was posting it. But all these other accounts were like talking about Kim's petition as if they had it in their little mitts, but weren't showing it. And I just have something like to say about that. I think that that's bad journalism. I think that if you have a document that's newsworthy and that there's actively like rumors going around and you have a document to like offer proof towards one end of the rumor or the other, like, you kind of have a duty and an obligation as someone with, like, an Instagram following to post that. Okay?
That's my opinion!
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. So, I ended up finding it, thank God, because, actually, I didn't even find it. Allegra from Legally 40-ish, who's been on the show before, love Allegra. If you're not following Legally 40-ish on Instagram, go head over there. She also has a podcast. She's on a bit of a break right now. She started a new job. She's a lawyer too. And she actually worked, did a case with Tom Girardi. So I would suggest that you head over to her Instagram and give her a follow. That's Legally 40-ish. She sent me the link to this divorce petition that Kim filed. But this petition didn't show up on the website until the very next day. And everyone's like, oh, but Kim filed on Friday, so it's weird that it showed up the next day. And it's like these things, when you file them into the court, you log into this little portal. It's usually called like Tyler Host or something. And you log into this portal and you fill in a bunch of different information, the case number, what the document is, comments to the court, you add your little filing fees and whatnot, all this random shit that you have to put in. Everybody has to do it. It's not like Kim Zolciak comes to the front of the website and she's like, hi, actually, I want to go first. Like, everything goes in order. So if I submit it at 3:33 and somebody else submits it at 3:32, like, the 3:32 submission will be in front of mine, right? Because they filed it first. So, Kim, in my experience and opinion, and the clerk will have to say otherwise, Charlene Robinson, and quite frankly, I'm sure the clerk has a lot of other things on her plate to take care of, but if Kim filed at 3:44 and Croy filed at 1:15, obviously Croy's document's going to be imaged first. It was submitted first. The court has to go through, look at the petition, make sure that all the information that's legally required to be in it is in it. And they can either kick it out and say, this is actually deficient and you need to add A, B, C or whatever. Or they can accept it. And then if you look, if you're watching this on Patreon, then you'll see this. If you're looking at this on the website, you'll see in the top corner of this petition, there's like a blue area of text that says like electronically filed with the Superior Court, date May 8th, 2023 at 1:15, Charlene Robinson, clerk. So that means that the clerk read through this whole petition, added it into the docket, started a new case because this is the first document ever. So this clerk has to like say, okay, all right, well, now we have a petitioner, we have a respondent, we need to get a case number, we need to know who's the petitioner's attorney. Like, there's just so much information that these people need to get put into the system to even start the case, right? So that little blue sign up there, that little blue spot of information tells you that this clerk went through all of this information and imaged it, and now it's officially part of the court record. Since this is chronologically done, then it just, I can't express enough how Kim filed second. I mean, if you think Kim filed before Croy, you don't know how dates work or timelines work, and I can't help you because there's a lot of people that can help you, and they're teachers. And you know what? Pay the teachers, by the way. If you're somebody who has the power to give teachers more money, you should. Because, boy, those men and women are really hardworking people. So, Croy filed at 1:15. Kim filed at 3:44. Yada, yada, yada. Does it matter? Oh, my God, I yawned. Does it matter who files for divorce first? No, not really. Literally, almost not at all. Only one person has to even want to be divorced. If the other person doesn't want to be divorced, nobody really gives a fuck. Nobody cares. Only one person has to be divorced. If no people want to be divorced, they stay married. If one person wants out, they get unmarried. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. So say Croy, we'll do hypothetical. Say Croy filed for divorce, and instead of also filing for divorce, Kim just never responded. Excuse me. Kim just never responded and went about her daily life or whatever. Well, then Croy would file what's called a default, where he says, look, we served Kim. She knows everything about this divorce and she's not participating. Can you just give us this divorce because I asked for it and I want it? And then the court will be like, let's have a little hearing and we'll see if Kim shows up. And if Kim shows up, then we won't give you everything you want because we'll just like litigate this. But if Kim doesn't show up, sure, we'll give you everything you want. And that's called a default judgment when the person doesn't show up. So if Kim never responded, and hypothetically this was the only document in the case for like a couple months or so, the judge would enter in everything Croy wants in favor of Croy because he asked for it and he's the only one that participated. That would be the only time it really matters who filed first because... Oh my God, I can't stop yawning. This is like so embarrassing. That would be the only time it really matters who filed first because who filed second wouldn't even participate, you know? So there's two different sort of theories behind how divorces can happen and how the stuff is split up between, you know, the petitioner and the respondent, or spouse one and spouse two is how I like to call them. And one type is called community property. And under that theory, you have like three little entities in the marriage. You have spouse one's separate property, spouse two's separate property, and the community, which is as soon as you're married, this community starts. And that's everything that you two, spouse one and spouse two, like get between each other. Any income that's earned, any houses purchased, absent a written agreement or some like crazy out of character gift, everything that's incurred during the marriage will be just presumed to be community property. And when you're doing a divorce in a community property state, first you start with the separate property and each person just gets their separate property. You can have it. There you go. There you go. Then you focus on the community and you divide things in the most equitable way that you can. So like sometimes, well, what you'll do is you'll add it all up and you'll get the net or the gross amount that all these assets are worth. So say you have 7 bank accounts and when you get them all together, it turns out that they're worth $50,000 altogether. So you can either say, all right, all these bank accounts are worth $50,000. Maybe spouse one wants to keep all the bank accounts because they were the money manager and so they have all their shit tied to it or whatever. Some people just want to keep the accounts. Then they have the opportunity to like write a $25,000 check to be like, I'll buy you out kind of thing, you know? Or they'll be like, well, there's 10,000 in each account. So how about you take this one? I take this one. You take this one. I take this one. And we'll split the middle of the last account. Something like that. That's how the community property state split it up. The equitable distribution, first you take out your separate property, again, inheritance, anything incurred before the marriage, so on and so forth. And then the judge decides, you take it to a court and the judge decides how all the assets should be split up. So they look at things like, how long was the marriage? Were you guys married before, either of you? Is there any prenuptial agreements? Are there any agreements that you entered into after you got married? How old are you? Are you guys healthy? Is one of you working? Who has the income? What are the sources of the income? Does this person have any skills to get a job, to like make their own income? So on, so forth. Like, is this person, now that they're divorced, they can't have an income because they're really fucking busy raising the kids, then, you know, they should have a different form of income, whether it be from an asset that can provide them income, or the other spouse has to pay maintenance. That's just how things work. Okay, so when you're getting a divorce, like, have you guys ever watched Susie Orman? I loved Susie Orman, and Saturday Night Live used to do such a funny Susie Orman skit. She's like a financial guru, and she used to have a television show called The Susie Orman Show, and I don't even know what channel it was on, but basically people would call in and they would be like, okay, I want to buy an RV. Can I buy this RV? And Susie Orman would go, show me the money. And then you'd be like, okay, I have, my take home income is $43 a day and I own 3 cars and yada, yada, yada. So my disposable income is this. How much do you have in savings? X, Y, Z. And then she'd be like, you cannot afford it. Or she'd say, you can afford it. And you'd be like, woohoo. And it was like, you know, you have to have all your ducks in a row before you go making all these purchases. Do you have enough money to live? Like 6 months of savings should be what you have in case you get laid off, like all this stuff. But the thing that she always said that stuck into my head was when she signed off on her show, Susie Orman always said, remember, people first, then money, then things. And that just stuck with me forever. Thank you, Susie Orman, for like building me into this woman of knowledge. But that's another way to look at it in a divorce. People first, then money, then things. So when you're getting a divorce or you're doing a divorce, you'll get the people. Let's talk about the people. They're the most important. Well, before we talk about the adults, we have to talk about the kids. So the first thing, like with kids, there's two main things that you have to agree about: parenting time and the amount of support. Child support is usually calculated, and by usually I mean pretty much always, unless you have a spouse that's willing to pay more than what the formula says. There's this formula that calculates what's called guideline child support. And they use this little computer program, and you put in the like how many hours each parent's going to spend with the kids, which they have different schedules, like 2 days a week, 1 day a week, overnights, whatever. And then how much the income that each parent has. And then it does its little math problem, and then it'll shoot out how much each parent should pay for child support. And then that's how they make the order. So you usually, you can't stipulate under guideline. Like, guideline is the bare minimum. But say your guideline support is like, oh, you know, I could pay $5,000 a month in child support. But say you're like a big baller and you're like trying to take care of your kid's mom or your kid's dad or your kid's other parent, whatever. I don't know. You have like a really amicable divorce, or maybe you're not even married and you're just like, you love your kid and this is your co-parent and you're just raising them together. Some people choose to pay more in child support, and that would be really the only deviation, is if you're going up and paying more support. Parenting time is always based on what the best interest of the child is. And the court will usually say that the best interest of the child is equal parenting time for the mom and the dad, or the dad and the dad, or spouse one and spouse two, parent one, parent two. It doesn't matter. The court will say, I would say most of the time, the first instinct, unless it's blatantly obvious that you have like a deadbeat parent, is equal parenting time, equally split between both parents. Everybody agrees that is what is in the best interest of the kid. Where we get into problems is, I mean, a lot of parents experience this even when they're married, let alone when they're getting divorced, is who's going to pick up the kid from school? Who's going to take the kid to school? What about soccer? What about the weekends of games and this and that? So that's when parenting time becomes contentious, is, well, you work all day. How can you have custody of the kid during the week when maybe you, parent one, travels for work and is gone most of the overnights? Like, why should the kids get to stay with spouse one's new girlfriend or boyfriend instead of with spouse two? You know what I'm saying? So that's how parenting time ends up in conflict, is things like that. But the best interest of the child is always two parents, equal parenting time. And God, working in family law, it's really, 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 really upsetting. I don't think a lot of parents, and I wasn't a kid who had divorced parents. My parents weren't divorced. They still aren't divorced. So I never had to understand what that was like for my friends who did have divorced parents. But now that I'm working in family law and have been for like years, it's so apparent how these parents really do impact their kids. Like, your kids see fucking everything. Everything. They hear everything. And it's not even, and when they say they hear everything, I'm not saying your kids hear you say bad words under your breath. No, I'm telling you, your kids hear the minute change in your voice. Your kids pick up on the fear rattling in your throat, or the anger that's like lumped into your neck. Like, that's the shit that kids hear. That's the stuff that they pick up on. They read between the lines. Like, they know when you're talking shit on the other parent. They know when the other parent's talking shit on you. And it's really, really, really detrimental. And as someone who's never been divorced and never had divorced parents and has no kids, let me give you all the advice. Just try really hard to remember that, like, even the weird body movements that you do that you might not even know about, kids also pick up on. Like, you know? So that's what they mean when they say kids see everything. But people first also includes you. So the you and people first also means spousal maintenance, spousal support. The goal is, while people are getting divorced, you want each person to be able to start their life immediately. You know, you don't want to keep people that hate each other in the same house, ideally. So you want to give people enough money to be able to have their own place to live, pay rent, do this, do that. And when that happens, sometimes it means that both people can't live at the same marital standard of living that they had been living at during their marriage. So maybe you've been together with your partner and you can live in a $1 million house and it's got 6 bedrooms and a big yard and you've been able to live comfortably like that for years. And then your divorce comes and all of a sudden that one income that was paying for that house now can't afford to pay for 2 people to have that standard of living. So what happens is both people kind of have to take a little bit less, a little smaller bite at life. So, you know, there's all kinds of shit like that that happens when people get divorced. Then money comes into play, and that's where then we get into the accounts and we start splitting out bank accounts, yada, yada, yada. You can have in some, I don't know if this is in all states, but I know for sure in California, I've done or worked with a couple of these, what's called a qualified domestic relation order. And that's when people who were married and have an interest in like a joint retirement account, an attorney prepares this whole document. And what ends up happening is it creates another person. It's like right to receive income from that 401k instead of just the person who was immediately on it. So those are interesting. And then the last thing that people care about are the things, the knickknacks, the dishes, the china, unfortunately the family photos, the Beanie Babies. Oh my God. Have you guys ever seen that photo where it's like these people who are in court and they're trying to get a divorce, but they both are obsessed with their fucking Beanie Babies. And so they line them all up in front of a fucking judge. A judge has to point and say, okay, spouse one, go pick out your little Beanie Baby. Okay, spouse two, go pick out your little Beanie Baby. And they went on and on like that until each adult in the room had the amount of Beanie Babies. The Beanie Babies that they wanted. I can't even believe it. I mean, the shit that happens in family law is so crazy. Like, I remember in one case, this person was leaving their husband, and when they left their husband, they took some food out of the pantry, and one of them was a can of black beans because they were the only people in that family who even liked to eat the black beans. And when the first spouse found out that spouse two left the house with those cans of beans, whoo-wee, did hell break loose. Who did hell break loose? Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll jump into what each of these people asked for in their divorce.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, we are back. So Croy filed first. So let's go through his people first, then money, then things of what he asked for in his petition. So obviously, Kim and Croy have four kids, Croy, Cash, Kaya, and Kane. Now, according to Croy, he says that these children are presently in the care, custody, and control of him, and that Croy seeks permanent and temporary sole legal and sole physical custody of each of these kids. So he's saying, and I want primary custody. Like, even if you're not going to give me sole custody, the only custody, I want the most of it. And that is very interesting to me. That's something we're going to want to put a pin in that and remember it for when we go into Kim's petition. I mean, you guys just heard me talk about, what do they say? What's in the best interest of a child? Two parents, equal parenting time. And Croy's coming hot off the press saying, you know what? No, just me. Just me. Yikesy doodle. I want to know why he says that they're currently in the custody and care of him, though. It doesn't, he makes it seem like Kim is nowhere to be found, deadbeat mom, never seen her, Kim who doesn't even know these kids. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from, like, the first page of this petition. I thought that was interesting. And then he asked, he said he wants temporary and permanent alimony, which is spousal maintenance or spousal support, which makes me think, like, when one person is asking for alimony, I mean, on one hand, in a petition, you want to, it's like, get while the getting's good, like, ask for alimony while you can, because you usually can't come back and ask again. So it's like, ask for everything right off the bat, which I get. But he says that he wants alimony and this and that. So is Kim the breadwinner? It makes me wonder, like, who's earning more money, because the person who pays alimony is the person who has the money, because the other person doesn't have any money. If they both have money, then alimony is not even needed, because the other spouse can support themselves. So why would that spousal support and alimony and all that, none of that is supposed to be considered punitive damages. You're not supposed to punish someone and say, oh, well, Jack cheated on me, so I think that we should break up and he should pay me $1 million a month in alimony. Like, alimony is not punitive damages. Most states, I don't know about yours, but the one I live in is a no-fault state, which means it doesn't matter if he fucked your best friend right in front of your face. He's at no fault for this. I'll blame him, though. Fuck him. And then for money, he says he wants equitable distribution, which, good, because that's what you're going to get anyway. Georgia is an equitable distribution state. It's not a community property state. That's what I Googled. And then for things, he said, I want all my separate property, everything that I brought into the marriage. I want it. I'm leaving with it. We incurred some debts. And he said, we can equitably distribute these debts, though. But the other interesting thing that Croy asked for was he wants exclusive temporary and permanent use and possession of the marital residence. So he's saying, Kim, get the fuck out and don't you ever come back. However, it's important to know that the very next sentence he says, petitioner shows that, so that's Croy. Croy shows that Kim should be restrained and enjoined from coming about the marital residence after she vacates. I think that woman is still in that house, which stay in the house. It's her house too. But at first I thought, where's Kim? But now that I've like read more and we have her petition and this and that, and like the dust has settled, it's like Kim is obviously still in the house because it says once she leaves, once she vacates, lock her out. She can't come back. So then Kim filed for divorce. Usually when someone files for divorce, the other spouse files what's called an answer or a response. But in this case, Kim and Croy, obviously something happened. Obviously something happened because now these two individuals are like trying to race to the fucking finish line to get their petitions filed for divorce. So I'm like, did somebody walk in on something? Did some crazy financial event happen? Something happened one day that made both of these people decide that they needed to be divorced immediately the same day. And that's the story that I want. I want to know what happened. Obviously, there's a ton of speculation, but right now we're talking about the petitions, and we'll save the speculation for after that because we need all the facts before we speculate. So now we have Kim's petition that she did not file over the weekend. She filed at 3:44 p.m. Kim said, okay, we have four minor children, but they still live with both me and Croy in our marital house. So even Kim says, I'm still here. I'm still in this goddamn house. And you're not going to steal my goddamn house. However, they said, no, I'm sorry, shouldn't have said however. Kim also says prior to the separation, these children have lived with both of their parents since birth. So it's not even like one of those things where it's like some kids are born and maybe one parent is busy or is in overseas or is God knows what the hell. People have so many different jobs that maybe they miss a big chunk of this baby's life for the first part. In situations like that, it's not really responsible to just hand a kid over that, I mean, even if you're the mom or the dad, like this baby doesn't know you. It'll just cause trauma for both the parent and the baby. But here it says that both of these parents have been around these kids since birth. The kids know both of the parents, and she really is making like a strong argument for, that's right, both parents equal parenting time. She also says, Kim says, she wants joint legal and primary physical custody, and she makes a mention that she wants to allow Croy like as much visitation time as he wants. So in Kim's petition, she's looking like a sweet little angel. She's like, oh, these kids know us both. Like, they should be with us both. And I should have primary physical custody, but Croy should be able to come whenever he wants. So I feel like Kim's petition's quite good. I like it so far. With money, she says that, oh, I'm sorry, we should talk about what she wants for herself first. She says that she is dependent on Croy for support and maintenance and is entitled to receive alimony from him to continue her maintenance. So Croy's over here going, hey, I don't have any money. She has to pay me. And she's over here going, hey, I don't have any money. He needs to pay me. And I think it'll be interesting to see what the judge says. If I were the judge, and I mean, if they both had money, I would say neither of you get alimony. You know? I don't know. But the other interesting thing about this whole debacle is usually when, like, a couple announces for divorce like this, we get some sort of statement. Oh, we love each other very much, but we've just grown apart and we have to go our different ways. Or someone's a fucking cheater or a liar or whatever, or going to jail. Like, we usually have some sort of information, but here we have nothing. And it's all just complete speculation. People are making all kinds of shit up. People are saying, well, obviously Kim's on the sauce, or obviously Kim's got a gambling problem, or obviously Croy cheated. All kinds of crazy shit. We have no idea. And if you do have an idea, can you let us know? And I did reach out to Kim, by the way, and she didn't reach back for comment. So she's clearly going through it. But how they met was really interesting. They actually met on the show. And I'm going to play a clip from when Kim met Croy. Kim and Croy met at a... I thought it was a baby shower, but I guess it was some event that was for Dancing with Atlanta Stars. And Croy was in Dancing with Atlanta Stars, and Kim was also at this event, and so was She by Sheree. And this is where Kim and Croy met. They met at this event, and Kim was like, love at first fucking sight.
Oh, there's tight ass. Listen, can I just be honest with you? I've never in my whole life seen an ass like that.
Yeah?
We were all sitting at the table. I was like, 10, 10. I just had to tell you, adorable. You did fantastic as well. Yeah. Lawrence, honey, I mean, honestly. Can I just see it? Will you turn around? Just
sure.
Looking handsome. Look at. I'm a baby boy right here. That's my son. Hi, hold on, I messed up a picture. Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to drop my information to you if you ever want to go to a Falcons game or
for a drink.
Yeah.
Let me give you my number. Call me, we'll go have a drink. Do I think he'll call me? Duh. Would you call me?
Oh my God, I fucking love Kim. Like, she's so crazy. But that's how Croy and Kim met. They met on TV. They had a full relationship on TV, and then cameras go down and so does the marriage. I'm not here for it. I'm just not. So in May of 2011, they had their first child, Croy, together. Kim already had two daughters that she brought into the marriage. She was a single mom for a while, and that's Ariana and Brielle. And we got to meet Kim when she was a single mom to Ariana and Brielle, and she had a sugar daddy named Big Papa who bought her like an Escalade, and he's all, oh yeah, babe, just write the check. Okay, for an Escalade? Whatever. They didn't get married until November 2011, which I don't blame them. Like, if I was pregnant and then had a baby, I would wait a couple months to get married. Like, that's just way too much work. There was like a lot of family drama surrounding Kim's wedding with her mom. I'm pretty sure they kicked her mom out of the wedding at one point, and it ended up coming to be that they really stopped having a relationship together, the mom and Kim. I think a little later in one of these shows that Kim was on, they did reconcile, but I can't really say for sure. But in August of 2012, Croy and Kim welcomed their second son named Cash. And then in July of 2013, Croy officially adopted Ariana and Brielle. So now together they have two sons and legally two daughters, even though they were already all living together. I'm sure they already thought of Croy as a dad before the adoption, but it became official and both of them took the Bierman last name, which I think is really sweet. In November of 2013, the pair welcomed twins, Kaya and Kane. In May 2017, the couple renewed their vows, which we know is the kiss of death. And then in May of 2023 is when they filed for divorce. So they met in May and they divorced in May. Come what may. So after they had their wedding and all this, like, they had a couple TV shows, Don't Be Tardy for the Party, Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding. I can't remember what the RV trip one was, but they had one over COVID where, like, the whole family lived in an RV and went camping and stuff. It was really fun. It was, like, the simple life, but the whole family. And I really liked it. It made me laugh. I love that family. They were always so fun to watch. And so I'm really bummed that this family's breaking up. But it was just so nice to see when they were together. And there was even a scene on Andy Cohen's show where Kim talks about how Croy is as a dad. And it's just so sweet and gushy. And I'm going to have you listen to it because it really makes it even harder to figure out why this couple is getting a divorce.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name's Amy. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hey, Amy, what's your question?
Hey, Andy. Belated Happy New Year's, by the way.
Thank you.
Sure. Kim and Croy, my question's for both of you. How on earth do you have time to have sex with each other with six kids running?
Oh, I find it.
Croy finds the time.
They're on a very strict schedule. Yeah. Our kids are in bed by 8 o'clock, especially with school. So Croy reads them a book at about 7:45, and they're out by 8.
Wow. Do you, are you surprised by what a disciplinarian he is?
No. I am like, oh, whatever you want.
Right.
I cry. He's like, nope. You know, very strict. So we balance each other.
And by the way, how grateful for are you for that? Because you need that, right?
I need that. I think for boys more so than girls.
Yeah.
Like, he's raised little men every Monday night. The garbage they take out, all three of the boys. They treat me like a queen, all three of the boys. I mean, he's raised little men already.
That's great.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, cute to see how this couple likes each other. And I never really saw them fight. And if they fought, it was, like, bickering, but not the kind of bickering that's like, okay, we're going to watch something implode here. It was just fun. And they were always touching each other and, like, had their hands on each other. And I'm just kind of bummed about it. Of course, we know that they've been experiencing a lot of financial troubles, which usually does lead to divorce. Specifically, their home was foreclosed on, but they did redeem it, which when your house gets foreclosed on, that just means that the bank is, like, going to sell it. And even if they sell it to someone, there's what's called a redemption period where the person who got foreclosed on, so like Kim in this situation, has a certain amount of time, like, set out by a statute in your state that will say how long that person has to, like, pay back the debt and get their house back. Because the goal in life is not to have anyone be unhomed. So if the person who is homed in the house can redeem it and redeem themselves and pay back the debt, they should keep their home, is kind of the spirit of that law. So while it was foreclosed on, they came up with the money and they kept the house. But they do owe $1.1 million in taxes, which, hey, you got to owe millions. No, wait, you got to make millions to owe millions, baby. I think that's what Karen said. But they owe like $1.1 million in taxes, and they have tax liens on file for 2013, 17, and 18. And they had their taxes assessed in 2019, 2022. Wow. I cannot do numbers. I think I have a problem. They were assessed in 2019, 2020, and 2023. Holy fuck. Imagine being negative $1 million. And it's not even for your house. It's just because you just have to give it to the government and never see it again. Ugh. If you pay your taxes ahead of time, it hurts your feelings a lot less. I'm just saying. So Kim had like a makeup brand, I don't know if you know, with her two daughters, Ariana and Brielle. And it was called KAB Cab Beauty. And I don't know where it was ever sold, but I will say it has been a suggested item for my glam bag. But I have an Ipsy glam bag. If you guys want one, I have a code. I should probably share it, but I don't have it off the top of my head. They have all kinds of really great products. And one of them, like they suggest, you can pick and choose sometimes like what products you want. And, you know, I think that's great because, you know, sometimes you just don't want a mascara. You want a KAB Beauty thing. But Cab Beauty has been a suggestion for my Ipsy glam bag for quite a while now. And I want to know why. I want to know if it's because Kim's like not doing well at KAB Beauty or if it's because it's such a good product that Ipsy's like, put it in the bag. Because I get so many good products like Summer Friday, Saturday Skin. I got a Give Them La La Beauty Palette and a Give Them La La Setting Spray. Smells so good. I've gotten so many good products, but so maybe Cab is one. I should just get one. I should just get it anyway, don't you think? I should just try it. Anyway, that was it for Kim. I guess we're going to stay tuned. It'll probably be a while, but not too long before the court makes an order on temporary support, temporary child custody, who's going to live where. They won't kick anyone out of the house, but maybe someone will agree to leave. We'll just see how this happens. It's always like so crazy when a lawsuit is initiated because all we know is what's in that paper. And what's in that paper is this marriage has been irretrievably broken. That's so sad. We want every marriage to succeed as long as it's healthy. All right, I'm Team Reconcile. Please head over to Instagram, give Allegedly Bravo a follow for some up-to-date legal news. Head on over to the website to just check it out, peruse, look at the merch. And of course, if you'd like to watch this, head on over to Patreon. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Allegedly Bravo podcast is hosted, produced, and researched by Lauren Peavyhouse. Allegedly Bravo is available anywhere you listen to podcasts and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps me out. This podcast is made available by the lawyer or legal expert for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the podcast publisher. Allegedly Bravo podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state. Got it?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.